Welcome to this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today we continue our series dealing with the Bainbridge Island Metro Park and Recreation District, what it is, its history, and some of the exciting new things happening right now and over the next several months. In this series, we'll focus on the many special events and programs that happen in the parks. And we welcome back Board Chair of the Park Commissioners, Don Jano. Don, thank you for returning, and tell us who you brought along today.
Hi, Bob. Nice to see you again. Yeah, so today I have our good friend Scott James with us today, and he is the chair?
Yep, founder and board chair.
Founder and board chair of Bainbridge Prepares, and a very good friend of mine. So I'm glad he's with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And, so Scott, welcome back. You've sat in that chair before a couple of years ago, I think.
Yep, and good to see you again.
Good to have you back on What's Up Bainbridge.
Yeah, this is the first time post-pandemic, I think.
Yep, absolutely. We're warming it up again.
Yeah, it's great.
So tell us about the whole connection between parks and Bainbridge Prepares.
Well, Bainbridge Prepares has had parks as a strong partner for several years now. There's a couple of key connections. One is our disaster hubs. So we have identified locations around the island. The idea is that we're finding places that so that everybody on the island has a disaster hub that they could walk to post-earthquake or post-natural disaster that's within a two-mile walk. And in order to accomplish that, we approached some private organizations like Bloedel Reserve, and Ed from Bloedel instantly said yes. And, but Parks has so many neat locations around the island that they were a natural for us to go and give a sales pitch to. And the sales pitch was along the lines of, hey, we think from studying other natural disasters that people are going to naturally going to walk to your locations post-earthquake because they're going to be looking for information or just they're going to be looking for that human psyche wants a big open field that doesn't have large trees that are going to fall down on them. It's just a natural way to think. Mm-hmm. When you think of those spots on the island, you think of Battle Point Park and some others. It's where folks are going to go, whether we invite them to or not, post-earthquake. So Parks pretty quickly said yes, and it's been great working with them. They've turned over a number of parks to us for declared disaster hub locations. We're in the process of stocking those with supplies that our medical teams can use, as well as our communications teams, the ham operators and such.
Oh.
And then there's a second team that they've been really instrumental in, which is particularly important for family reunification, is our child safety team run by Kari Murphy for years now. And we've had a parks person on that team since the beginning when it first started. And the challenge I threw at that team was figure out the strategy for how we are going to get parents, grandparents, and guardians back connected with their kiddos if those folks are off the island when the disaster strikes. A big deal that's full of emotions. Parks has been terrific about working hand in hand through figuring out that strategy with us. We're just super pleased to have them as part of our core partnership.
Yeah, and we're so glad to be able to help. Because again, Parks is, I see Parks as sort of the center of the community, and your work is just so instrumental again in keeping people safe. And all this pre-planning can put all of our minds at ease, and I'm thankful for that. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really great.
Like, for instance, we figured out a color-coded system for communicating with parents where we want them to show up. When they show up at a property, where we want them to come to start the pickup process. Mm. It's color-coded flags. It's pictographs so that even if we've got English as a second language, that there's not room for miscommunication there. Well, what Parks has done is they've actually already implemented those flags and implemented those color systems now for whenever we drop our kids off and pick them up at the summer camps, for instance, or the camps that happen year-round.
Yeah.
So we're already training in the parent community, the grandparent community, and helping them understand that this is the language that we will use even post-disaster as well. So we're normalizing through the parks.
If we have a listener who knows nothing about this at all, how do they find out?
They can go to bainbridgeprepares.org. That on that website, you're going to see a few tabs at the top after a little welcome video. The welcome video is along the lines of, so glad you're here. And by the way, did you know you live in an earthquake zone? We love having you on the island. And here's the things you need to be aware of. You know, here's the wildfire mitigation work that we do with our partnership with the fire department and our third partner with the city of Bainbridge Island. And you'll notice some tabs across the top of that. There's a tab for individual, like what can I do for myself and for my loved ones that I live with. There's a neighborhood tab, which is really key to everything. And we use a program called Map Your Neighborhood to get folks to talk to their neighbors, sometimes for the first time ever, because life will get very local very quickly after a large natural disaster. And then there's some other tabs that that relate. And on the individual tab, you'll find some information there about the family reunification plan that the child safety team and that Parks has developed. And we've pushed that child safety team, for instance, it has representation on it from just about every youth-facing organization that we could find. Parks being the largest one, along with BISD. Peter, the superintendent, also sits on that team. But it includes other folks like Boys and Girls Club and all the heads of school of the private schools and the head of organization of preschools, and they all report up to one kind of governing body, and we've got those folks on there as well. So it's if we tried to find just about everybody who works with kids, and so that they're all speaking the same language.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the website, Scott, because we have a fairly active neighborhood group, Top of Madison group neighborhood. Lots of kids, a lot of kids lined up for the school buses and everything. But it's really been interesting how even families without children or children that have grown up and gone to school and have left the community, the interaction is really pretty cool. I mean, we have, you know, a meeting about once a month and talk about the different dynamics and all kinds of things come up and problems to solve. And the partnerships between people is really, really pretty encouraging.
Neighborhoods is really the key for this. That, like, when you drop your kids off at a parks event, one of the forms that you fill out typically is who are the emergency contact people? Yeah. And so what this team has been able to do is to say, hey, you've already filled this out for school. You have to do it when you enroll your kid every fall, is you have to fill out a top 10 list of guardians, that people who you authorize to come get your kiddo in case of an emergency. Well, all of the parks classes have a similar thing where you have to list an emergency contact. So what we're starting to coordinate all of the sports teams and after school clubs and the park stuff all summer long. And their stuff throughout the year, so that they're using the same top 10 list. And that's particularly important because you don't want to necessarily put your best friends that live on the complete opposite side of the island on that list. It's stronger, actually, to put your next-door neighbors because you want to get your kiddos back to home base as quickly as you can. And so it shows the importance of having those direct relationships with neighbors.
Yeah, I think it's great. We actually have our annual Bainbridge Prepares neighborhood meeting coming up in November in my little neighborhood, and it's great. And we all stay connected, and everyone's updating their information. And I think we're going to have another presentation. And who's got generators? Who's got water? Who's got this? Who's got that? And again, like you were saying, Bob, it just is a really, it's added a whole nother dimension to our community in a really nice way. And so I'm thankful for that.
There's another aspect that I've really enjoyed with our partnership with Parks. And so we have a team, they're called the BEMERS is the acronym. It stands for Bainbridge Island Emergency Medical Responders. And these are people that go through a 2-week intensive training that is medically minded. It's basically how do you take care of items if you are an hour plus away from definitive care. And it's what you want. You want somebody in your hiking group when you go to the Olympics, you want one of them to be one of our BEMERS. Mm-hmm. And so we will regularly reserve slots. We run those classes every spring and fall. And we'll regularly reserve slots in those classes for some of our partners, Parks being one of the early ones. In fact, the one that I went through the first one, and there was five or six Parks folks there, including Emily and some others.
Oh, that's great.
And so it's fun because you know that as you are out and about in our parks, and if you happen to be in one of the parks and there's a natural disaster, you can also be rest assured that even among their core staff, there is some pretty significant knowledge and skill set for these folks that it's very just community-minded. They're doing it so that they can take care of folks in the parks. And I love that about our park system.
So you mentioned Battle Point. What are some of the other locations that are key?
Yeah, Battle Point's one of our primary disaster hubs for that section of the island. Mm-hmm. Fort Ward is another one. Fort Ward will be in combination with the community center there, but then also the park itself. We're probably going to stash our trailer full of supplies in one of the parking spots at the top of Fort Ward Park up the hill. Then there's also Strawberry Hill and a couple of other locations where we've either got, they're either staging grounds or they are permanent hubs. And a hub, people can learn more about the hubs if they go to the website. Mm-hmm. But the hub is primarily as an information gathering. It's a matchmaking service almost. As the neighborhoods walk into their closest hub, one street might walk in and the neighborhood captain says, "Hey, we are A-okay. We got out of this scotch-free." The next street might walk into that same hub and say, "We have been decimated. There's not a single house left." Part of the function of the hubs is to play a matchmaker so that street A can take in the people from street B and give them housing and support.
Yeah.
That's also, though, where we are stashing ham radio equipment and have the ham radio club. Those folks report in there so that they can get the operations up and running and be talking to Ann Lesage and the folks at the Emergency Operations Center, as well as Chief Hank Tran and Deputy Chief Jared Moravec from Fire and also Chief Joe from Police, so that we get communications back up and running as quickly as possible.
It sounds like there might be some opportunities for volunteers.
Oh, yes. we have just about doubled our numbers of volunteers. I think pre-COVID we were in the mid-300s, and now we are closing in on 650. In terms of volunteers that have gone through a background check and gone through some training. So yes, we're more than happy to have more folks because many hands makes for much lighter lifting.
Sure.
So they can find out about that by going to the website, bainbridgeprepares.org/volunteer, I think is the page. It's a pretty not onerous process to go through the background check. But where folks can really go is they can look on the Teams page because there's an organizational chart. And it shows the three-way partnership between our nonprofit and the city and the fire department. They can read descriptions about what teams are there and where they might want to plug in and serve. And because the earthquake will quite literally affect every aspect of life, we pretty much have a team that covers every aspect of life. So it really doesn't matter what your passion is. We've probably got a team for you to plug in with like-minded folks.
Yeah, that sounds great. So if a person is interested in volunteering in some way or figuring out an area that they could volunteer, best to go to the website.
Yep.
And see what's available there.
Yeah, and you'll see some familiar people. You're going to see people that you actually know from parks there. You know, like the other day, just this last week, Morgan from Parks was running the first community weed pulling party, and it had my daughter's cross-country team from BHS. So you got all these kids showing up there, along with a few parent chaperones, and we're putting instruments into the kids' heads and hands, and we're saying, "That ivy must go. Go get it." And Morgan was just thrilled. Her face was elated because it was the first time we've had a group out there working since the pandemic started, I believe. And so there's a lot of overlap. You see a lot of Bainbridge Prepares volunteers also doing stuff with parks, also doing stuff with Rotary. You know, just it's a good group resilience set of folks.
Well, Bainbridge really is a place for volunteers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can keep yourself pretty busy.
Yeah. And I'd also like to say, again, that I know that you're partnering with the fire department and the police department as well. And the fire department is a really another key partner of parks as well as the police department. But fire in terms of, you know, obviously wildfire, forest fire, trail building, all of that's always taken into consideration. So I think there's so much coordination between these different agencies that many people don't realize that we do all speak to each other and that we, thanks to Scott's help, can mobilize really quickly, and thank you so much for that.
Oh, right? Yeah. You'll notice actually at most of our parks, you know, those bulletin boards that they've got at the trailheads and such, most of them you will see a promotion for FireWise, which is a really neat program that the fire department administers. And it's definitely worth looking at in terms, it really doesn't matter where you live on the island. Or if you live off island, but you end up spending work hours on island, FireWise is a very important program to look at and understand. You can find more information on BIFD.org, of course, but those little placards that Parks was kind enough to put up at all the trailheads is also super helpful as well as in terms of getting the word out.
Great. Scott, thanks so much for coming today.
Yeah, good to see you again, Bob.
And telling us all about this great connection with you guys, Don.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Don.
Of course. So thanks. Yeah, it is very fun.
Yeah.
Nice to see you again. And thanks, Bob, as always. This has just been great. It's always so informative.
It's my pleasure. I've learned a lot today. I can't wait to go back and get on the website.
Yeah.
And make sure all the people in our neighborhood are doing that too.
It's great.
Well, thank you for joining us today on this edition of What's Up, Bainbridge? Brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.